You're traveling through another dimension, a dimension comprised of knowledge, opinions, and entertainment. A journey on a virtual information highway into a wondrous land whose boundaries are more distant than the outer reaches of the Twitter sphere. Your next stop, The Trend Zone.
Hello and welcome to The Trend Zone. Casey here with Dave. We're the football dudes. And Dave, are you ready, bro?
You got that right, my friend.
All right, then. Our next stop is the Trend Zone. In today's episode, we'll talk about the Raiders' Monday night debut at the Death Star, some of the brutal, dude, and I mean brutal injuries from week two, a little Survivor, our fantasy go-back starts of the week, and some of the most awesome games from the upcoming week. Dave, before we get to all that, brother, you got a tasty nug for the peoples?
As always, Case, I am spilling out the nug. It is 11, count them, 11 teams heading into week three undefeated, dude, including the brutal NFC West, which has three teams, the Cards, Rams, and Seahawks. You also got the Bills, the Ravens, the Packers, the Steelers, the Raiders, blah, blah, blah. It goes on, Casey. This is an exciting start for a lot of teams right now. It'll be 2-0.
Oh, yeah, David, a little baby nug to put on top of that nug. Five of those teams didn't even make the playoffs last year. So the NFL, baby, it churns and burns, man. You're back on top.
Woo! Yeah, exciting.
Well, speaking of back on top, Dave, the Raiders on Monday night opened the Death Star in Vegas on the 50th anniversary of Monday Night Football, and they beat those Saints 34-24. Wow.
Yeah, I'm telling you, what a great performance by this Raiders squad, dude. They came out and it was a little pressure by the Saints defense at first, and they kind of weathered that storm a little bit after maybe halfway through the first quarter that offensive line for the Raiders settled down, and they are some beasts on that O-line, dude. They can really protect Carr back there, and Jacobs ran the ball pretty well. It was just an all-around very impressive performance, keeping the Saints offense in check, man, and getting a W, opening up that Death Star, dude, man. That was impressive.
Yeah, dude, and this new Monday night crew, I really like Riddick in there. And actually, I don't hate Greasy as much as I thought I was going to. He actually has some good insight, but it's not blowing my mind. It's not jazzing me up, Dave, but it's much better than last year.
Yeah, last year, oh, man, that guy just kind of grated on you with the over-the-top delivery by Tessitore and the really, really, really good blocking commentary that booger would provide, dude. So, yeah, for me, it was a huge breath of fresh air. Just because it wasn't annoying, that made it feel really good.
Yeah.
Maybe the bar was low.
All right, Dave, going back to week two, and I don't remember a week like this ever. I know there's injuries every weekend in the NFL, but, dude, if you were a star player, oh, my God, it was bad news all the way around.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've seen, like, an amount of ACLs that kind of maybe match this, but it seems like it's always like, man, this never happens, but it does. But the names, Casey, that you're talking about, Saquon Barkley with the ACL, I mean, the Niners in particular got blown with Nick Bosa, their best defensive player, Solomon Thomas also, Jimmy G got banged up, and Raheem Mostert also hurt, Tevin Coleman, I mean, they're left with Jerick McKinnon as their starter, man. They had a slew of backs over the last couple of years, and now they are, left struggling, dude. Other guys, Christian McCaffrey has the high ankle sprain. He'll be out 4-6 in all likelihood. Tough break. He won't be playing against my Chargers this week. Also, Casey, Drew Lock, man, the Denver Broncos put a boatload of talent around Drew Lock and really said, hey, this is your team right now. And now he's gone. We don't know what the extent of that injury is, but it is the throwing shoulder. Driscoll did look good, though, in his performance, almost mustered up a win. That Broncos team is pretty talented, but, man, that's a pretty serious lock, too, man.
Yeah, Driscoll won't have Cortland Sutton either, so
that's right.
Just banked up all the way around. And they obviously lost Von Miller before the season even started. So hopefully that was a season's worth of injuries on week two, and it's going to be clean. I don't think so, but it's wishful thinking. So hopefully those guys all, recover and get back out there as soon as possible, except no CMC for you guys this week. So I think you're okay with that.
I never wish bad things on people, Casey. Let's just hope for 1 week out.
Yeah, just 1 week out and then get him back in there. All right, Dave, let's move it on to our survivor pick or our three strikes pool. Pretty clean for the most part across the board in week two.
Yeah, I think pretty much did pretty easy week, I think, for the people this week. You know, I had the 49ers over the Jets. Following your theme, I think, basically, of just take whoever's playing the Jets.
Yeah. You can't go wrong.
That happened to be the most popular correct pick as well. So I'm not the only one.
Yeah, the most popular incorrect pick was New Orleans over the Las Vegas Raiders. It's still weird to say, but the most popular pick heading into next week, the Colts over the Jets.
All right. Not
all right,
bad.
Dave.
What a surprise.
Yeah. Hey, pick against the Jets. Where it can't go wrong. All right. Going wrong, our fantasy go-back starts of the week. It was dude-on-dude action.
That's
the football
right.
Dudes went up against each other.
Uh-huh.
And how did we fare?
Well, I pretty much picked a pretty good lineup there, Casey, coming away victorious with my lightning strikes over your foul boys. I could have made a couple of switches that would have gained me 3.9 points, but that wouldn't have put me up into the money as I finished with the fifth best score of the week. We had some pretty huge scores in our league this weekend, but could have had a couple of swap outs. Nothing really notable, though, for the most part. Pretty good routing for my team.
Well, Dave, had I benched David Johnson, Joe Mixon, and Emmanuel Sanders and put in David Montgomery and Robinson for the Jags and throw a little Bex in there, I would have kicked your ass. That was all it took.
I might have needed that 3.9 points.
Yeah.
At that point.
So just, you know, three players, that's all. It was pretty close. My team sucks this year. I don't I'm just not feeling my mojo, but thank God I have my other league. I'm already talking to other league, Dave.
I'm undefeated in my other league and ranked number one.
Oh, thank God for the other leagues. All right, Dave, let's get into some reality, bro. We got some kick-ass games in week three. Let's get it started. The Houston Texans at the Pittsburgh Steelers. Steelers are 3.5-point favorites at home with the over-under at 45.
Yeah, man. And I'll tell you what, these Texans, the schedule makers did them no favors to start this season. Brutal schedule starting off at Kansas City, then hosting Baltimore, perhaps the two best teams in the AFC. And now another one of the best teams in the AFC. They visit the Steelers, who started off smoking hot this year. Man, this is going to be kind of a must win. I mean, you know, it's hard to say in week three a must win, but my gosh. You know, Deshaun has put up big numbers, but it seems like they've been all in kind of garbage time this season. David Johnson's had a nice resurgence with his trade over here. He's looked healthy, and he has performed pretty well. Obviously,
except this week.
Yeah, not well enough, right? week one, he did look pretty nice, though. You know, they got Cooks, Randall Cobb, and Kenny Stills at the receiving positions. And, you know, it's a pretty nice group of guys. But it almost glares no Hopkins to me when I think about this squad. It just takes away their biggest, most explosive weapon. On the other side, they've got a pretty strong defense. J.J. Watt has already got two sacks on the season, so that's pretty awesome. But man, I mean, this is tough sledding for these guys to start this season, dude.
Yeah, brutal start for these Texans. But let's flip it over to these Steelers coming in this game undefeated. And how about Big Ben Roethlisberger? We talked about this earlier, man. This might be a comeback player of the year. He has been smoking, dude. He lit it up against those Broncos, and opening week just destroyed the Giants, man. He just, I think they put in a couple tendons from the Joe Montana elbow. Now Big Ben's got that nub that he can dial into, and it seems to be working out for him. Juju is emerging to be that number one receiver in the offense. And he looks pretty special there. But Deontay Johnson, he's actually leading the team in catches right now. He had a big game last week. And your guy Chase Claypool,
Notre
Dame, with a huge 84-yard touchdown last week, looking pretty sweet. And, Dave, this is going to be a Watt battle. Did you know that the Cowboys could have had T.J. Watt a couple years ago, and we went with Taco instead?
You know, I think I've heard that before, Casey.
I've mentioned that.
I think
he wasn't a scheme fit with the last coaching staff, but he's a scheme fit with the Steelers. Had 2.5 sacks last week.
They're scheming to sack the quarterback.
Yeah. Hey, that's a novel, a pass. Bud Dupree's been awesome, too. He had a sack and a forced fumble last week. He's really coming on. So this is a very complete Steelers team. And if Big Ben continues to be healthy and getting healthier with that arm, dude, sky's the limit for these Steelers. Kind of the 1-2 punch with James Conner and Benny Snell. I don't know if either of those guys can be the guy for a full season. But if you split those carries, man, it's a formidable rush there. So I'm liking what I'm seeing out of these Steelers early.
Me too, dude. That real quick on Chase Claypool. That guy is fast and big, man. I think he's got a huge upside. All right, moving it on, Casey. There's so many good games. Up next is the Raiders at the Patriots. Raiders are favored by 6.5. The over-under 47.5, dude.
Yeah, dude. Raiders coming off that big win on Monday night, passing their first big test game. Their reward, you get to go to the Patriots and hit these Cameron Newtons, man, who looked awesome Sunday night. We'll get to the pass later. But how about Darren Waller, dude? Chucky says he'll take him over any tight end in the league, and he's not wrong, dude. Through two games, 18 grabs, 148 yards, and a TD, and he could not be stopped on Monday night. He was all over the field, could take it to the house on any time. And you mentioned Josh Jacobs early on, too. He runs hard. They need to get that average up a little bit. Still, under 4 yards a carry, but he's been pretty solid. He's a spark plug. They like him. He really fits that mold in these Raiders.
Very physical.
Yeah, they really want to run the football. The D is still a little work in progress. They're getting burnt a little bit in the run game, just under 5 yards a carry. But these Raiders are going to get a chance to prove that they're a legit squad. But after these Patriots, they get the Bills at home and then have to go to the Chiefs. So we're going to find out what they are made about. What they are made of. But so far, this Raiders team is a lot of fun. And Derek Carr asked you to put a little respect on his name, and so far he's earning that spec. You know, 3 TDs on Monday night basically an ass-kicking of those Saints.
Yeah, it was pretty impressive, Casey. On the other side of the equation here, it's the Patriots, obviously, with their new look under Cam Newton. It's really the Cam Newton show in a lot of ways. They came up just shy towards the end of the game with Newton trying to score the go-ahead touchdown against a dang good Seattle team. So pretty impressive, though, Newton on the season and what they're able to do there. He had, just in that last game, almost 400 yards passing and a touchdown, as well as 47 yards rushing and two touchdowns. So pretty awesome numbers for Cam Newton. No doubt. He's obviously, when he gets down near the goal line, he wants to take it over himself, you know. Last week it was mostly Sony Michel, James White, with the unfortunate accident with his family there, unfortunately. But they did all right running the football. Obviously, Cam Newton doing with his addition there. It's Edelman had a phenomenal game, 8 catches and 179 yards last week, too. And N'Keal Harry also a career high with 8 grabs for him. So it's a pretty nice, all-around performance by this offense led by Cam Newton. So it's been very impressive. And if they'd have come away with one more play last week, we'd be, looking at them in even more impressive terms. Defensively, Stephon Gilmore is probably, arguably one of the top DBs in the league. And they got Devin McCourty back there. They did lose a lot of dudes by the COVID sort of, opt-out scenario. We know that. But it's still a pretty strong group. Adrian Phillips moves from safety to linebacker for them, and he's a pretty mobile, hard-hitting dude. But, with Belichick, usually the defense just gets better and better, mid-year, and then really starts to peak it out as they really start to know their roles better.
Yeah, and that offense is going to continue to get better and looks pretty damn good. Cam Newton's shoulder looks to be healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's a lot of teams out there like, wait a minute, we could have had a former league MVP on the cheap. Patriots, man. Bill Belichick's playing chess out there. That is for sure. All right, Dave, a battle of the undefeateds. Our Los Angeles Rams at the Buffalo Bills. And the Bills are 2-point favorites at home with the over at 47.5.
Yeah, man, and this Rams team has come out on fire so far. last week, in particular, Goff to Higbee was the connection. Three touchdown passes to tight end Tyler Higbee, dude. He has really come on. He finished last year in maybe the last six games killing it, and he's picked up right where he left off this year. Unfortunately, they did lose Cam Akers, the running back, earlier on, and so now they're kind of scrambling around, but they still have, it was a three-headed monster with Daryl Henderson and Malcolm Brown, and Henderson has looked good, 121 scrimmage yards last week, so nothing to sneeze at there. You know, he's putting up good yardage, and Goff, after coming off a kind of a subpar of the year last year, especially with all the money he's making, also playing pretty good football. Their tandem of receivers with Kupp and Woods, and then, of course, I mentioned Tyler Higbee. But Kupp and Woods, man, Kupp always gets open, and Woods can make some big-time plays too. So it's a real formidable group there. And on the defensive side, well, they do have some guys back there, including Jalen Ramsey, but I'll just leave it at Aaron Donald, dude.
Yeah.
Look out, because he's gonna wreak havoc.
Oh, yeah, we learned about that. But how about, dude, Josh Allen for these Buffalo Bills? He total fantasy domination leader at quarterback last week because he had 417 yards and four touchdowns, zero interceptions with a 147 passer rating, dude. And we had talked about, I guess, the knock on this guy was his accuracy the last couple of years. But it's funny when you add a Stephon Diggs to the mix, how quickly that can change, dude. And last week, Diggs, 8 catches, 153 yards, and a touchdown. And now that they have a number one, the skill set of those receivers looks even better. You're talking about Cole Beasley and Smokey Brown there. They all have different things they can do well. And, man, Josh Allen's got that huge cannon. He can just fire it downfield. So this team is a lot of fun to watch. In the backfield, Zach Moss and Devin Singletary, you know, they're kind of doing that tandem thing over there. And that defense has been real solid on the other side, too. Tre'Davious White, he's one of the better cornerbacks in the league. And up front, dude, Ed Oliver, he is a force to be reckoned with. So the Bills, they're looking to take over that East. Can they get it done? We're going to find out, man. This is going to be a great game. But those Rams were just in Philadelphia, flew back, got to go back to Buffalo, going to see if there's any fatigue in that team with the cross-country roadies back-to-back.
Yeah, no doubt. They're a team that has a ton of road trips this year, and it's getting started nice and early here for them.
Stack those miles, baby. Frequent flyer. Get them.
No doubt about it, dude. All right, Case, up next. This is a biggie. It is your Dallas Cowboys at the Seattle Seahawks in the 12s, although they won't be as loud as normal. Seahawks at home, favored by 4.5. The over-under, 55.5, Casey. This is going to be a heck of a football game.
Yeah, dude, let's get it started, bro. Dak Prescott, Jarrah, paid a man. Prescott, the first player in NFL history with at least 400 passing yards and 3 rushing touchdowns. Dak really brought him back. It was such a slow start and a frustrating start with all the turnovers and the fake punts that went awry. But they found a way to get back in that game and win it at the end. So that was a huge boost going into this game, man. You don't want to be rolling to Seattle 0-2. And I think what's most impressive about this offense is they've had such a slew of injuries on both sides of the ball. Last week, no starting tackle left or right. They hope to get Tyron Smith back for this one, but Lyle is still at least a week away. But the team was able to protect Dak. They went heavy on the play action, and that seemed to open things up. I hope that's going to continue because the last regime got away from that sometimes, and it's very effective for Dak. But Zeke has been Zeking it up. That's why the play action is so successful. 249 total yards and 3 touchdowns through 2 games. They're going to need a huge dose of Zeke on Sunday against these Seahawks. I mentioned him on the Sunday six-pack. Dalton Schultz really came in and made up for a poor week one. And you got the wideout CeeDee Lamb, the first-round draft pick out of Oklahoma, came up big in that game last week.
Huge.
Over 100 yards. So the trio there at receiver is pretty awesome. Now you flip it over to the Doomsday defense. It's not all doom and gloom yet, Dave, but this pass rush has not been living up to the hype. You got all these names, Alden Smith, Griffin, DeMarcus Lawrence. They were supposed to be getting after the quarterback, and they haven't done it yet, but it's not as bad as it seems. They held the Rams scoreless in the fourth quarter in week one and were able to hold those Falcons to just 3 fourth-quarter points last week. I don't know if they're going to be able to do that against Danger Russ, because I don't know that anybody's playing the game better than Russ right now.
No doubt about it, man. And it's hard to pressure Russell Wilson because of how poised he is. Even when the pressure's all over the place coming real crazy at him, he still just sort of steps one direction, steps the other direction, looking downfield to make a big play. And then he just jogs, picks up a first down if he needs to instead. But let's talk about Russell Wilson, dude. He is killing it this year.
God.
610 yards, 9 touchdowns. That leads the league. No picks. His or one pick rather on the season, 140 quarterback
pass.
Rating. Yeah,
that was off the tip.
Yeah, that's right. And last week, 5 touchdowns, dude. So he has been absolutely destroying it. He looks like he's on an MVP pace without a doubt, dude. And Carson has been running the ball pretty well for him. It's not been quite the running attack, I don't think, that Pete Carroll would like, but. That might be something that comes into shape as the season comes along. Tyler Lockett, though, also absolutely really performing extremely well this season. He started really emerging as a very, very consistent playmaker last year. And, I mean, he is just one of the most productive, the quarterback-to-receiver combination there, one of the most consistent and productive in the entire NFL. And then DK Metcalf last week, there was a lot of physical battles downfield with him trying to get open, made a huge play last week in a big touchdown reception there, and he looks like a physical mismatch, speed and size that guy brings. Wow. It's very impressive. Yeah. If they can shape up this ground game a little bit, then they will be an absolutely complete team. Cause on the other side of the football, Pete Carroll has this defense running around. These guys kind of hit the reset button on the old defense. And, you know, Bobby Wagner's still back there, man, in the linebacker position. But bringing in Jamal Adams from the Jets has absolutely breathed a huge amount of life. They have the guy that they need to run their style of defense. And he's had 10 tackles in each of the first 2 weeks. So he's dominating all over the place, man. He is a difference maker, dude. What an acquisition he was.
Yeah, he's looking every bit worth the 2 picks that they sent to the Jets and then the swap of the third. Yeah, oh, man, that guy is a stud. Oh, Dave, it's getting super sweet, baby. The Sunday night game, we got the Green Bay Packers at the New Orleans Saints. Saints are 3-point favorites at home. They're over under 52 in this game.
Yeah, and it's Aaron Rodgers off to a really nice start this year. 6 touchdowns, 0 interceptions for a 119-plus quarterback rating. I mean, we got a lot of guys just putting up spectacular numbers, dude. But 80-plus points and 1,000 yards of offense in the first 2 weeks of the season. So,
oh, my God, dude.
I mean, it's crazy the numbers they're putting up, and Aaron Rodgers is ripping. Last week, Aaron Jones, man, this is the Aarons, I'll tell you what. 236 scrimmage yards for
Aaron
Jones.
I think it's pronounced A-A-Ron.
He wants to be separate himself, right? I mean, he is killing it. 3 touchdowns last week as well. He is just dominating from the line of scrimmage through the air and on the ground. Unfortunately, Davante Adams, obviously by far their best receiver, banged up there. So it's going to be Valdez-Scantling and some guys trying to get it done at the receiving group. It's a serious letdown, but we'll see how Aaron Rodgers, the way he's playing, if he can bring everybody else's game up. On the other side, their defense has come around in the last couple of years, and is the Smith brothers, etc. You know, they're doing a pretty good job. But man, when the Packers are putting up yards and points like that, they just have to do a little something, and they're in great shape.
Yeah, dude, I think Aaron Rodgers wants to stuff this right down Matt LaFleur's throat. It's like, oh, you don't go out and get me a weapon, I'll show you. And there's a fire lit under this guy, and I think it's showing in his play. And these Packers are for real, man. They've shored up that offensive line, and they are looking legit. Maybe not so legit so far are these New Orleans Saints. They were heavy favorites to beat the Raiders in Las Vegas. If that place was, filled with lathered up Raider fans, then I could understand losing that. But it was pretty quiet there, and they still just got – I don't want to say dominated, but the game wasn't that close. So people are starting to wonder. Yeah, if Drew Brees has hit the wall. I don't think that's what the case is, because he's still one of the best to ever do it. He does have to clean it up, though. Had an interception on Monday night, and it was pretty costly. But he was also without Mike Thomas. And Traquan Smith was pretty good. He had 5 for 86. But I was expecting to see more out of Sanders, and I don't know if he had a catch in the game, maybe one or two. So if Michael Thomas is still out, which he's saying he's got a chance in this one, someone else has got to step up. So maybe Sanders will be that guy this week. But Jared Cook has been solid, dude. He's had a touchdown each of the couple last weeks. But this offense is all about Alvin Kamara. How many times can you get this guy the ball a game? I don't think that you can do it too many. He's got to be active in the passing game, and he's got to be active in the run game. You bring in Murray to kind of get a couple of those hard rushes there, but Alvin's got to be on the field as much as possible if this team is really going to have a chance to do battle with these Packers. Defense is solid. Cameron Jordan up front. Malcolm Jenkins in back. They were expecting to do better on Monday night there. I don't think you can't get too high and you can't get too low on the wins and losses, even though it feels like life or death. But this is a pretty damn important game. You drop one at home to one of the other teams competing, jockeying for that number one seed in the NFC, dude. This is a huge game for them. And if they bounce back, all is going to be right. But if they fall to these guys, the sky's going to be falling in New Orleans a little bit. Would these guys start thinking about Taysom Hill?
There was talk last year about Brees kind of tapering off. I didn't see it as much as some people made of it, but you got to wonder if he is getting a little bit to the point where he can't get those deep balls to go as far as they need to go accurately. There's certainly some concern there, Casey.
I am freaking stoked for this game, though, Dave.
It's going to be rad. All right, up next, speaking about awesome football games, dude, it is the Kansas City Chiefs at the Baltimore Ravens. Blockbuster game. It seems early in week three for this kind of monster football game. Ravens at home, favored by 3.5. The over-under is 53.5. But, man, is this a big, big football game. I cannot wait for this one.
Yeah, dude, and your Chargers gave this Chiefs team fits all they wanted and then some. I mean, they struggled for about 3.5 quarters in this thing, but they're the Chiefs, so they could
just
figure out.
Just takes that half a quarter for those guys.
Yeah, you know, and as much as Mahomes struggled at the end of the day, he still had 300 yards and two touchdowns. But where he killed you guys was with the legs. What was it, 3rd and 20 late in that game in the fourth quarter?
Yeah, Mahomes picked up found 21.
Yeah, I got 21. So you can't let up. This guy can do it from any passing angle. He can do it with his legs, too. Tyreek Hill, you can shut this guy down for three quarters, too. You know, you held him for 4 catches and, like, 40 yards, but then he has the one that's a 50-yard touchdown. So they could just explode at any minute. Clyde Edwards-Hilaire, week one, looked awesome, almost 140 yards. You guys held this guy in check and didn't let him get the extended. When you hit him, you put him on the ground.
Yeah.
That's what the Ravens are going to have to do. But so many weapons. I didn't even get to Travis Kelce, who had 9 for 90 and a touchdown against your Chargers. It doesn't seem like this guy can be slowed down at all. Yeah. And Robinson and Hardman got to get more involved in the offense. But this is a complete team. You flip it over to the defense. Chris Jones, one of the preeminent pass rushers, just run stoppers. He does it all, man. He is a beast up there in front. And Tyrann Mathieu, this guy, I guess, didn't fit the scheme of the Cowboys a couple of years ago. Guess what? He does fit the scheme of a Super Bowl champion. He is a difference maker on the back end there. So Chiefs have a lot going, dude. It's a battle of former and reigning MVPs. I can't wait to see this game, dude. We would say it would be an electric environment in there, but I'm not sure the Ravens are going to have any fans. But this game is going to feel like a playoff game on Monday night. Book it, baby.
No doubt about that, Casey. It's going to be spectacular to see this punch per punch. You know, it's just going to be back and forth, I imagine, in this game. And this Ravens team has started off this season absolutely dominating their opponents. Last week, they crushed the Texans. it wasn't really that close. So, you know, it was a 33-16 win, but it just didn't seem that close. It didn't even seem like Lamar had to do all that much. You know, it was a 200-yard passing game with a touchdown. He ran for 54 yards, so he's using his legs sparingly but effectively. On the ground, though, they really, really dominated. Right. So physical running football game with Edwards and Ingram. Ingram broke the big one for the touchdown, which made his numbers good at 6.1 yards a carry, 55 yards. But Gus Edwards just pounding it, 73 yards, but at 7.3 yards per carry.
Wow.
I mean, my God, you hand it to that guy on first down, and you're sitting pretty at second and three, you know. So, I mean, that's dominating when you can just get that run, that kind of productivity out of the run game, dude. Oh, and on defense, of course, tack on a fumble recovery for a defensive touchdown too. Oh, they're pretty good on special teams too. They scored a ton of field goals with Justin Tucker. He's one of the best kickers in the league, man. I mean, this team is super, super well balanced and extremely productive. You know, they just do everything well, and that's what makes them so difficult to beat. They play from the lead almost all the time.
Yeah.
They just get out in front and they keep winning. And that's what I imagine might happen this week, but that's fine with the Chiefs because they sit behind and suddenly explode. You know what I mean?
It doesn't matter, dude.
Right. It does. Yeah, they're down 10 points, 17 points. I mean, we had them down 17 last week. And man, it just takes a couple of drives, and next thing you know, they're right back in the football game. And they are so explosive. So we'll see if this Ravens defense, which has been playing exceptionally well, can really slow down and you have to do it for four quarters, that Kansas yeah. City Chiefs offense. And if you could do that, and the other thing is you can play keep away. So can the Ravens run the ball effectively and keep the ball out of the Chiefs' hands late?
Yeah, this was the AFC championship we wanted to see last year.
Yep.
We didn't get that, but this is going to be a huge game. It's nice to see on paper the best game of the week making it back to Monday night. So many
yep.
times this is an afterthought, not this week. And I think it's going to have a playoff vibe, and it might just be a preview of this year's AFC championship.
No doubt about that. I mean, these teams are on a collision course yet again in the postseason, I'm sure.
All right. That is going to do it for this episode of the Trend Zone. Dave, so many ways for the people to check out the Football Dudes. This podcast, if you haven't subscribed already, what are you doing, man? Go over to Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, TuneIn, wherever the hell you get your podcast. Subscribe. Have this little piggy delivered right to you each week. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, like us on Instagram and Facebook, and of course follow us on Twitter at Football Dudes LA. There is so much information there all the time. If you're not doing it, you're missing out. And if you just want to kick it old school, dude, footballdudes.com.
Oh yeah.
All right, he's Dave, I'm Casey. Enjoy the week 3 action, people. We are out of here.